Like to turn your attention to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, starting in verse 28. What if God hasn't answered your prayer, a prayer that you've been praying for a long time? The question is, what do you do? Well, you just keep praying. Because through it, God sees how faithful you are and how much you trust Him, even though things haven't happened the way you want them to happen. There's a lot of reasons for God's delay. I've said it over and over again, delay is not denial. And so sometimes it reveals to God and to us our character, our level of faith with God based on how we react to non-compliant prayers, if you will. Wants to know, you know, will you still love me? Will you still come to church? Will you still worship even though you're in pain? What if somebody doesn't like you? Are you still going to like me? You know, on and on and on. It's building character sometimes. And verse 28 of that 40th chapter of Isaiah, which is very familiar to us, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew or exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Last week, Thursday, I was driving down Highway 31 and 4 Mile, and I looked up, and there was this bald eagle circling. And I thought, are you lost? You know, you're supposed to be up north someplace. Amen. And then before service started, Brother Bear came to me and said, look it, I just got a picture sent from my brother, two eagles sitting on a pier in Sheboygan. It was all iced over, which is unusual. You know, I shouldn't be surprised that God confirms messages, but, I mean, what are the chances, folks?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for your word, but the fire and the anointing that touch upon your word, you make it alive again. It's not just black and white. It's not pages of printing. It's you. Word made flesh. And we're holding you in our hands tonight, God. We ask your blessing and anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The oldest living person on earth is dying. They think she is about 130 years old. That's a good run. What they're doing is they're asking her what she ate and what people should do in order to live as long as she lives. And she said the key is eating a lot of pickled herring. I guess I'm not going to live to 130. But what I can do for you tonight is tell you how you can live forever.
Yes.
Consume this thing all the time. I mean, get your fill of it every day. Pig out, if you will, on the Word of God. And it satisfies better than pickled herring. Amen. Better than Culver's, because it won't leave you hungry. It'll leave you satisfied. Hallelujah. I believe it's obedience to God's word and spirit that allow us to have that fire inside, a refreshing. Now, if we want to live forever, which is considerably longer than 130 years, then we must have a balanced meal of word and spirit in our life. We have song service. We have a showering of God's spirit upon us when we start worshiping. And then we hear the word of God, and that balanced diet allows us to be healthy Christians. If we do not receive the preaching of God's word on a regular basis, we're going to die. If we do not feel the atmosphere of God's presence on a regular basis, we will die spiritually. We'll become weak and anemic. And that's why it's so important to get to the God's house. Some of you have never tasted pickled herring, but you never tasted anything of Acts 2 and 38 at one point. You thought it was very distasteful. You thought you were alive, but you really weren't breathing until you had the Holy Ghost in you. You really didn't have life until you had the life of God's Spirit within you. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, this message is not for new converts. This message is for old saints, people who need a refreshing, a renewal, if you will. Amen. There needs to be a constant renewing of our strength in the Lord, or we will die spiritually. It is the law of the Spirit, and no one is exempt from that law. If you go without eating for any length of time, you become weak in the flesh. The same is true in the spirit. If we are not consuming the word and breathing the Holy Ghost, we become weak and feeble and could pass away before our time spiritually and physically. I really do believe one of the greatest blessings of God is a long life, a prolonged life, not only just living and breathing, but an enjoyable life as well. The word wait in the original Hebrew means to bind together, to entangle, to entwine, or tarry expectantly. The word renew means to change or spring up. So as we bind together in church services, we are changed and made stronger as a result of it. So you can't do it on your own. You have to do it with somebody. The church actually strengthens us by gathering together. Turn to Revelation 12, if you will. In verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So what it's really saying is, listen, we're accused day and night by the enemy of our soul, condemnation, all kinds of things. But there are times when we're able to fly into church services, into worship services, and be refreshed and freed. Now, in all the eagle's feathers in latter years of the life grow old and eventually they fall out. If you've grown up on a farm, if you've been around chickens, you find that there's feathers everywhere in the yard because they molt. They have to shed old feathers and then new feathers come in. The eagle's beak gets dull and the talons are blunt and he cannot fly as high as he used to, nor can he tear the prey with his beak and rip the prey with the talons that he has. And that's his weapons, if you will. So his instincts tell him to fly to a high mountain or find a cave where he can be all by himself. And there in that cave or high place, he will begin to scrape his feathers and beak and talons to the point where he really is ugly. He's got to get rid of some of the old. He does this on a rock until he is completely scraped and old feathers and even his beak is worn down. And by this time, this eagle is looking pretty ugly, pretty unattractive. Also, very vulnerable and very helpless at this point because he doesn't have the defense system that he once had. Anyone feel very vulnerable? Anybody feel a little old and ragged and not looking as good as you? But here's the thing. Instinct tells him to just wait. And if he will just wait, his feathers, his beak, his talons will eventually grow back to what they used to be when he was a young eagle. Anyone here tonight feel like they are in a place of waiting? I think all of us are waiting for something, and some of us get anxious. I'm not a good waiter. Amen. 6 years in the Army, it was enough waiting in line and formation that I said to my wife, I'm not waiting in line for anything anymore. You know, a place where we need to be renewed and strengthened. Maybe you aren't looking so good in the spirit. I need a rest. I need a refreshing. What can I do to get refreshed and strengthened? Well, sometimes we're thinking we have to do something when God's saying, no, you don't have to do anything. I want you to just wait on me. I've been counseling a young man. He wants to put his marriage back together every day, it seems. He's out of town right now, and he's saying, if I just say this or if I say that, I said, you know what? Maybe it's not something you can do, but what God can do. And some of us feel like there's got to be some kind of formula to do something in order to change the situation when God's saying, you know what? Why don't you just wait on me? Some things take time to scrape away, but I want to soar like I did when I was a young convert. I want to have the same feelings and the same talents. You will if you can wait on the Lord. The eagle knows enough to wait for his renewal, you see. Then after his time of waiting, he emerges with his wings outstretched and he looks like a brand new young eagle again. He then mounts up on wings, flies again to heights that he used to fly to. Some people think it's all over. You know, I had my day. I'm not ready to be benched yet. I think I haven't preached my best sermon yet. I haven't seen the best of God's miracles yet, and I don't believe you have either. Amen. Isaiah and David both wrote about the way of the eagle. The eagle has 9 main feathers in each wing and 5 feathers in the tail. I really believe it's significant to the gifts of the Spirit and the fivefold ministry. I really, it is a symbol of freedom for America And God uses the eagle to show us how effortless it is to get up high. And, you know, if you watch eagles at all, it doesn't seem like they're like any other bird. They don't have to move their wings very often. They just allow the current of air to bring them up higher. And sometimes we don't have to do a whole lot of flapping in church in order to soar with God, to get up higher. Let Him lift you up and get to that place that you can't get to by yourself. Hallelujah. And when we choose to wait upon the Lord, we are stripping away the weakness of our flesh that weighs us down so many times. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Amen. Why isn't this thing happening? How come I'm, you know? God's got a reason. God's got a purpose. God's got a timing. Amen. Amen. If you've been on ever on an extended fast, you look and feel pretty ugly in those first couple of days. But then at about the third day, you begin to sense the work of the flesh being replaced by the power of the Spirit. Those first couple of days are just very difficult for most people. I've been on fasts where God gave me a fast and it wasn't hard at all, but most times it's difficult. But you get to the place where you get beyond the flesh, and then all of a sudden, it seems like God is right there all of the time, because you're crucifying the flesh. You're getting rid of the old and putting on or exchanging God's Spirit for the new. Amen. If we really want to get close to God, that's the only way it's ever going to happen, being replaced by the power of the Spirit. Our spiritual strength, vision, and desire becomes renewed, and once again, we step over into a dimension of the spiritual realm that we hadn't been before or for some time. We mount up with wings as eagles. We feel more like a new convert instead of an old saint. There's a process. And only we can put ourselves into that process. God doesn't force us. Daniel, when he was nearly 90 years old, could have sat back and relaxed, relinquished all of his duties and relished in his past victories. Let the young man teach the Bible studies. Let somebody else teach Sunday school. Let somebody else do it for now. And we can grab that concept. Well, why? Why? Why are we stepping back? Why would we say, let somebody else do it, when God has given us the energy and the breath in order to do it now? But not Daniel. He returned to set his face like a rookie soldier, choosing the way of the eagle. He wanted a new dimension, and he wanted a new, fresh word from God. I think sometimes we get to the place where we think we've been passed over now, and there's a new sheriff in town, and somebody else is going to take the reins, when God said, I'm not finished with you yet. Why start all over with somebody else when you have so much knowledge and so much experience, and you have so many testimonies that are so powerful? Why sit there until you die? Glory to God. Am I somebody? In Daniel 10, his fast brought a supernatural response from angels, Gabriel and Michael, and brought direction for Israel's future. Amen. I don't think God wants to start all over with, you know, just young people. Amen. We must have a desire to rid ourselves of some of the works of the flesh and understand that in our stinking flesh dwelleth nothing good. Amen. I know this is a familiar scripture, but turn to Romans, the 7th chapter. You know, the whole thing is from, for years, the world has been directed that let the ministry do it. People in the pew are supposed to be just, you know, observers. When God is saying, no, everyone should be involved. We're all priests. And it says in Romans, the 7th chapter, verse number 18, Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So here's Paul, probably, in my estimation, the greatest of all of the apostles. He wants to do good, but he's finding it difficult in order to do that good. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." It's a flesh problem. Amen. "Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." So I want to do what's right, but I have this thing within me that doesn't allow me. And so we have to somehow get to that place where the eagle is. You know what? I need a makeover. I need to make a consecration. This is a great time of the year to say, "Okay, God, I am going to get into the book. I'm going to spend more time with you. I'm going to be more faithful to church." And then all of a sudden, your strength comes back, and I'm feeling better and looking better. And glory to God. Listen, the passion and desires of our flesh for sin, there's something within us that wants the flesh to get what it wants, cannot be destroyed. It can only be subdued. So if you're waiting for that day when you're never going to have that pull of the flesh or the desires of the flesh, get over it. It's never going to happen. We can subdue it, but we can't conquer the flesh. The greater passion and desire of the law of the Spirit is the only thing that can subdue that which is within me that doesn't want to do what God wants me to do. So there must be a systematic exchange of desires as we wait on God in prayer and fasting and in His presence to change us and change our desires, because it's just not going to happen if we just, "God, change me." Amen. You know? I don't know why. I just don't have a desire to come to church anymore. I guess I'm just too old to raise my hands. I guess, you know, I used to, but, well, that's not God's problem. That's your problem. I have to determine. The more I seek you, the more I find you. Each of us are comprised of three things: mind, body, and spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have three compositions, if you will, and God's concerned about our thoughts, our body, and our spirit. And as we physically exercise and eat the right things, our body becomes stronger. Everybody knows that. At this time of the year, there are more diet books being sold and more programs in order to get healthy than ever before. And as we read, study, and learn, we shape our minds, which is our will, and our thinking and our emotions start to change based on what we're consuming as far as the Word of God is concerned and the time that we spend with God. The more time we spend with God, the more we want to be like God. That's why when people go to family camp or general conference, we get our kids back from Youth Congress, and all of a sudden, my God, they're just so spiritual. Why? You've been spending more time with Jesus, and as a result, you become more like Jesus. This is deep stuff. God gives me this stuff. But our spirit, the inner man, who we really are, can only be strengthened by the Holy Ghost, prayer, fasting, in His presence. You know, I would expect that you could, you know, buy one of these books, read them on dieting, and then never change your habits at all, and you'll be thin in 2 months. So we could read this book, you know, find all of the applications in it, but never apply them to our lives, and it's just academic. Now, we could exercise for several months and build muscles, but if we didn't continue, we lose the muscles, you know. We can gain knowledge through study, but if we don't use the knowledge, we soon lose the knowledge. But if we fast one day and get into the realm of the Spirit, and if we pray 1 hour, we will never lose that, because that is sealed for eternity. So there are certain things that we can do that will be temporary, but when we get into the presence of God, when we consume the Word of God, when we're filled with God's Spirit and we pray, that is for eternity. We'll never lose what we've gained from God, you see. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So the things that we do in the Spirit, in the realm of God, last for eternity, even though it seems like we've only spent a little bit of time with God. It is put into a vault, if you will, of eternal blessings. Paul said that we should be renewed in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." How? As we wait on God and trust God and His unchanging hand, that is how we're renewed. And many times it's just God waiting on us to see what we're going to do when we don't get what we want when we want it. That we would give ourselves over to the law of the Spirit and be rid of the carnal man and this body of flesh. So the idea is, and in every Bible study that I teach, I simply say there's two people living within you. You know, there's the spiritual and there's the carnal. And you decide who you're going to feed. You feed the carnal, you become carnal. You feed the spiritual, you walk out of a Bible study on a Tuesday night or a Monday night, you're feeling, man, I feel so good. But you leave that realm just for a little while. Going to take a break from God, you know? And you wonder why it's so difficult to, you know, then all of a sudden you find all kinds of trouble and grievances within the church, and I don't look good anymore, and all kinds of problems, because you're feeding the wrong individual. Amen. Turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thank God for Bible quizzers. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as such, as much as in all riches. Verse 58 says, I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. The word favor here means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. When God anoints us and we feel his touch, that is his favor upon us. Whenever you're feeling the touch of God, that is God's favor upon us. And I need God's favor on me because I'm inferior to God, and I need that. I'll wait on him in song. I'll wait on him in prayer. I'll wait on him in fasting, that he would exchange my strength for his strength. I cannot do this in my own strength. I don't know how the denominational world does it without the Holy Ghost, without the power of God that is within us, this regenerating power of God within us. But I can't do it in my own strength. He that would exchange my strength for his strength, so I can mount up with wings as eagles. I can soar when I can't even walk. An eagle comes back to the same nest every year. There's a motel in Managua that we have frequented, and right above the hotel, there's this really tall tree, and there's this huge nest. And eagles come back there all of the time, and there are a lot of people who just go to that hotel so they can see the eagles. Some have been seen coming back for 35 years or more to the very same nest. The eagle has something at the back part of their eyes called the pecten. When the eagle is young, the pectens are very flexible, but as the eagle grows older, the pectens grow rigid and fixed in their relationship to their home area. It's almost like a homing system within their head. And if the eagle begins to stray away too far from its breeding ground, the gravitational pull from its position from the north pole causes an intense pain in its head. Oh, I like to get some of those installed in the church. This won't hurt much. Glory. The only way he can find relief is by returning to his breeding grounds where he was raised. And when we have been built on the foundation of the Word of God, on spirit and in truth, anytime we begin to stray from that truth in which we were born into it, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, we will at any point of straying receive a pain of conviction by the Holy Ghost within us, and we know we better return to that which is truth. Hallelujah. God's Spirit and His Word will then lead us back to where we got truth in the very beginning. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's not the way of the saint. It's the way of the transgressor. Those people who decide, well, those things aren't important anymore, but they feel it. One last scripture, if our musicians come. Exodus, the 19th chapter. Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse number 4, it says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all of the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." He brought us to heavenly places on wings of eagles. Amen. Amen. And he wants to make us a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. Amen. He's installed something within each of us in order to always come back, always come back, always come back to the place where we were born and the truth that we grew into. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Now, there will be some people who have heard nothing tonight except pickled herring. Glory to God. I just want to get closer to him. Some of you old geezers, it's not over yet. God still has a plan. He really does. Please don't get to that place where you think, well, okay, I'm just going to hang on until Jesus comes. No. There's a lot of people our age that need God. And it's not going to be teenagers who's going to lead them to God. You know? I know that I'm not going to be very relevant to teenagers today. But I can be relevant to somebody else who is in my category. You know, we all have our oikos of people that we can be effective with. Amen. And that's why we're not all at the same age or all at the same capacity or you know. God has a diverse church. Amen. Amen. Love you. I appreciate you. The altar's open.